listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, July 8th, 2019. So we're talking about positive thinking, you know, in Philippians chapter 4 fashion, focusing on whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is good, whatever is of good repute, etc., etc. Quickly, and I got a story. That corresponds to this discussion. And I'm working on, I don't know, kind of a thought experiment to see if maybe I can ease up just a little bit on some of the things that I see. Admittedly, I can be very critical of certain things, and it's sometimes difficult not to really focus on that, on the critical aspects of things to the exclusion of anything praiseworthy, if that makes sense. And what I'm thinking of as I say that is actually the story that I'm referring to from last month, actually, June 24th, that it was published. But the title of the story is a Washington Post story. It's titled, This Woman Has Been on a 3-Year Road Trip Documenting Acts of Kindness. And I could take issue with a number of things in the article, but I think we're going to try a little different tact, and we'll see how that goes. So a little bit of a thought experiment. So from James Allen, as a man thinketh, effect of thought on circumstances, the operative concept is the mind is like a garden. A man's mind may be likened to a garden which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild, but whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. So that's pretty straightforward, I would say. And again, that circumstances grow out of thought, every man knows, who has for any length of time practiced self-control and purification, self-purification, for he will have noticed that the alteration of his circumstances has been in exact ratio with that, with his altered mental condition. So true is this, that when a man earnestly applies himself to remedy the defects in his character and makes swift and marked progress, he passes rapidly through a succession of vicissitudes. Men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. Their whims, fancies, and ambitions are thwarted at every step. But their inmost thoughts and desires are fed with their own food, be it foul or clean. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. How did Peter put it? By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. The man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. And I would say, conversely, we are encouraged these days not to do that, aren't we? Self-crucifixion is almost, I mean, that's almost a social taboo in today's America. When you think about the fact that we have a society that tends to lead folks to believe that they are, you know, we're all supposed to be perfect. Everyone's perfect except you, except me, except they're not. But the erroneous perception that's created is that everyone is perfect. There have been a number of studies done on that, just with social media, for example, how the perception that is conveyed is that, you know, everyone has a perfect, wonderful, happy, fun life except me, and therefore that's depressing, but that's not reality. So the concept of introspection and self-crucifixion even is just, it's becoming almost incomprehensible. And so what does that do? You know, the man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. The opposite of that would turn someone into, you know, a Caesar milquetoast, essentially, a 90-pound weakling. So what crystallizes that? I'll conclude on that, and then we'll move on. A man only begins to be a man when he ceases to whine and revile and commences to search for the hidden justice which regulates his life. And as he adapts his mind to that regulating factor, he ceases to accuse others as the cause of his condition and builds himself up in strong and noble thoughts, ceases to kick against circumstances, but begins to use them as aids to his more rapid progress and as a means of discovering the hidden powers of and possibilities within himself. It's an interesting concept. You know, you think of things like old school bad guys really wanting to have a Q&A session with folks to investigate what is it exactly, you know, wanting to gather intel on everyone everywhere, essentially. You know, through the efforts of psychology and psychiatry, for example, and, you know, Ancestry and Ancestry.com, 23andMe, and social media, and wanting to profile everyone, and even sitting down and having interviews and asking people questions to really find out about things, where the person who can clearly see that something is wrong doesn't want to sit down and talk about it. They just want to say, look, you know that's wrong. But there is this pervasive nefarious influence. You know, we've talked about it on this broadcast in particular. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 comes to mind, this great deception, and it's also to me analogous to Romans 1. But to maybe take a different tact again is not to adopt the tactics of old school bad guys, not that, but maybe something a little bit different, maybe something less dwelling on the negative and more harnessing and leveraging the creative forces which are at work. But that's not to try to forestall God's will or judgment or anything like that. Hopefully that makes sense. So just to conclude on the crystallization, like I said, the proof of this truth is in every person, and it therefore admits of easy investigation by systematic introspection and self-analysis. Let a man radically alter his thoughts, and he will be astonished at the rapid transformation it will effect in the material conditions of his life. Men imagine that thought can be kept secret, but it cannot. It rapidly crystallizes into habit, and habit solidifies into circumstance. You know, you think of, again, I think of passages in the book of Proverbs that, to me, allude to this concept in a variety of ways. And there are, you know, I think of Isaiah 5 in particular, and I think 6, the idea that there are certain folks who want to use the you know, universal laws and God's laws against God's people, so to speak, or the righteous, the virtuous, and sort of play upon that. And I think we're in a particularly unprecedented age for that. I mean, you got to go back to Genesis 11 and 6, I think, to see the overwhelming level of what we're seeing now, but not to get sidetracked. Bestial thoughts crystallize into habits of drunkenness and sensuality, which solidify into circumstances of destruction and disease. Impure thoughts of every kind crystallize into enervating and confusing habits, which solidify into distracting and adverse circumstances. Thoughts of fear, doubt, and indecision crystallize into weak, unmanly, and irresolute habits, which solidify into circumstances of failure, indigence, and slavish dependence. Lazy thoughts crystallize into habits of uncleanliness and dishonesty, which solidify into circumstances of foulness and beggary. Hateful and condemnatory thoughts crystallize into habits of accusations and violence, which solidify into circumstances of injury and persecution. That one strikes me particularly, you know, as this context pertains, or as to pertains to this context. Selfish thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of self-seeking, which solidify into circumstances more or less distressing. Again, that seems to be pervasive these days. On the other hand, beautiful thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of grace and kindliness, which solidify into genial and sunny circumstances. Pure thoughts crystallize into habits of temperance and self-control, which solidify into circumstances of repose and peace. Thoughts of courage, self-reliance, and decision crystallize into manly habits, which solidify into circumstances of success, plenty, and freedom. Energetic thoughts crystallize into habits of cleanliness and industry, which solidify into circumstances of pleasantness. Gentle and forgiving thoughts crystallize into habits of gentleness, which solidify into protective and preservative circumstances. Loving and unselfish thoughts crystallize into habits of self-forgetfulness for others, which solidify into circumstances of sure and abiding prosperity and true riches. A particular train of thought persisted in, be it good or bad, cannot fail to produce its results on the character and circumstances. A man cannot directly choose his circumstances, but he can choose his thoughts, and so indirectly yet surely shape his circumstances. It kind of reminds me of Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, when he talked about that space between stimulus and response. And if you can grow that space, it effectively works similarly to what James Allen wrote: a man cannot directly choose his circumstances, but he can choose his thoughts. And so indirectly, it surely shape his circumstances. And again, growing that space between stimulus and response, there it's fascinating. You know, it's just as simple as being in a room with one door and facing a wall and seeing a wall, no way to go anywhere, and a as simple as turning around. Sometimes it's that simple. You can change your circumstances with, by changing your thought, and particularly patterns of thought. It's interesting. It's fascinating. There are some practical examples that I've seen in life. And that's, I think, something to ruminate on. So I'll mention the story. We'll talk about the story in a minute. The road trip. Woman on a 3-year road trip documenting acts of kindness. Washington Post story. First, to the phones, Jeff in Missouri. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Chris. I was so deeply absorbed in the reading and your commentary that I've completely forgotten why I've called here. Okay. I had you on in the background. I don't ever want to misquote you. But you said something earlier, and I know you're referencing biblical translations, but I'd like to move off of that to something more earthly. But you said translations don't matter, something like that.
I wouldn't say they don't matter. I would say, I don't think that the controversy is edifying, and right. I do take issue with some translations, but really, at some level, I think we would all have to admit, there is the divinely inspired Word of God, and then we've had translations since then, and that's maybe not the same thing. But what's important to me, the salient takeaway, is that the Bible itself addresses, I would say, to some degree, the issue of translations. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's the Holy Spirit talking to our spirit. And to me, it's not to get sidetracked on the issue of translation so much as to reassure folks, because I've had my own thoughts. You wonder, how can I, what assurance do I have, Lord, if you're thinking about these kinds of things? And the assurance is that man is not powerful enough or strong enough to thwart God's efforts. And really, the beginning and end of that discussion is that the Holy Spirit is at the center of the translation, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's apply James Allen to it. See, the scripture says don't debate, don't enter into debates. And I may be a King James reader, which I am, but I have found that, let's apply James Allen to this, people, I believe, they have a spirit that's drawing a particular translation to them. Mm-hmm. Which they then use, like the Message to me is completely off the wall. But man, I run across Christians all the time who use the Message and some mm-hmm. of these other very questionable translations.
I agree.
And I have concluded there's nothing I'm ever going to say to this person that's going to change what has drawn this to them. And I can't change that. So whether it's the James Allen idea or whether it's strictly spiritual, I'm not going to even try to sort that out. But what I want to move on to in the world of translations, let's put our feet on the ground here, because the translations don't matter thing. I want to bring this down to earth. I'm going to start off with a little funny story from Monty Python's Flying Circus. I used to watch it years ago, faithfully. I tried to watch it recently. I just couldn't stand it. I used to think it was really great. But there was a skit they did where a translation book was done which had translations which were completely not there. Like, so you had a translation book and you say, could you please direct me to the train station? It would say, you got the big swing and knockers, baby, come on back to the hotel room with me. And that's what you would be saying to somebody, thinking you were saying, please direct me to the train station. It really was a very funny skit that they did. But obviously it was a mistranslation, right? Well, when I read The Ugly American, I find to be an extremely important book. I read it by accident. But in there was a recount regarding Southeast Asia in the 50s, where a U.S. congressman, very influential, went to Southeast Asia because he was going to get to the bottom of things there. He was going to go to the coffee shop. He was going to go to the air bases. He was going to go everywhere and find out for himself. And so an itinerary was planned for him by someone else. And, of course, it was for the benefit of the planners, what they wanted the conclusions to be. And they also provided him with a translator. Now, when he went to these various...
Hold that thought, Jeff. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Welcome back. On the phones, Jeff in Missouri, The Ugly American. I know you've mentioned that book before, by the way. I think it was last month, right?
That's right. But anyway, okay, so this congressman may pose a question to a shopkeeper, and the translator asks the shopkeeper an altogether different question. The shopkeeper answers, and the translator gives the congressman an answer the shopkeeper did not give. This went on throughout the congressman's visit everywhere he went. He went back to the United States and promoted war on the basis of bad translations. And now I want to bring this into the present. I don't know if you read Joel Skousen's weekly newsletter.
Not very often these days, but I feel like the tie-in to what I said earlier is Pompeo launches commission to ground foreign policy and U.S. founding principles, but I digress. Go ahead.
Well, this newsletter was about 3 weeks old, I think, where the Iranian situation was heating up and all that. But anyway, Skousen claims that the interpretation of what the Iranian leadership is saying as we are getting it is not what they're really saying. The translation that is being given to us through the media is not actually what these men are saying. If there was an independent translator who could, I think it's Farsi what they speak over there,
yeah,
could get the actual audio, not the transcript, because that could be tampered with, but the actual audio, the translation of what they're saying is different than what we're getting. A similar
right.
situation as to what happened in Southeast Asia. So translations do matter.
Absolutely. And the one of the
stuff we're talking about, the first time in Southeast Asia we were led into that quagmire, Vietnam War. This time around, the same powers are trying to push us into war in the Middle East. And they're using the mistranslation to get us there.
Well,
and we are powerless over this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway...
Well, you know, it's interesting. So in the context of what I was saying earlier, the, you know, thoughts, creative forces and those kinds of things, it's interesting, you know, the lengths that Google's Translate team has gone to improve translation, including machine learning a few years ago now, which I've talked about. And you would think that we would all, with these greater tools, we would be capable of maybe finding out for ourselves, but I'm reminded of the infamous remarks by Ahmadinejad and how those were misrepresented. And I tried at the time to find somebody that I knew personally, excuse me, that I'd known for a while, who could translate from Farsi and say definitively, because what I understood when he said what he said was that he didn't say that we want to wipe Israel off the map. He said this present regime, I think, should be erased from the pages of history. And so he was talking about a very specific cabal,
right.
Basically. Anyway, it's right. The same rinse and repeat mistranslation.
Yeah, but it's powerful stuff. It's gotten into us into war before, and it is probably going to be used to get us there again. And I just thought I'd put out that caution. But I want to comment on the power of words. And then I'll let you go. And I agree with the thought power and especially the word power, the power of words. Have you ever seen Yamamoto's water book? Have you ever heard of it? Yamamoto? He's a Japanese scientist, Yamato.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yamamoto, you talk about thoughts crystallize into an external reality. He proved that words crystallize water into certain crystalline forms. If you speak over a glass of water, love, 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 or faith, 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 or some other beautiful word, he could then photograph at some molecular level the crystalline structure that the water forms, and it becomes beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If you speak dirty words, you know, murder, hate, death, perversion, or words of that nature over the water, then you actually see scenes of murderous characters, and the crystalline structure turns horribly ugly, all on the basis of spoken words to the water. It kind of affirms what you're saying, but he focused on language, although it went beyond that, because you could take words and write them and tape them to the glass of water, and they would have the same effect. And remarkably, it didn't matter what language they were spoken in. Beautiful words spoken would create beautiful and beautiful crystalline structure, and ugly words would create ugly. And Yamamoto's water book is easy to find. It's fairly recent print. He's a Japanese, and it'd be worth, because it really confirms what you're getting at here, in a way.
Yeah.
You know. And it's
absolutely
worth getting. I think you'd really, really like it. Okay, hey, thanks for the time, and I'll keep listening.
You bet. Thanks, Jeff.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Tulsi Gabbard had an interesting video that she put out on Independence Day, and I thought it was kind of nice, you know, speaking of trying to focus on happy thoughts, so to speak. And I do recall Masaru Emoto's work and hearing about that and similar experiments. You know, there was a period it seemed, I think, going through the 80s in particular, where there were varying degrees of those kinds of things. Maybe it was just because of what I experienced, you know. There were certain family members that were interested in those things in particular, but Whether or not you believe it, you know, Wikipedia says of Masaru Emoto that Emoto's conjecture evolved over the years and his early work revolved around pseudoscientific hypotheses that water could react to positive thoughts and words and that polluted water could be cleaned through prayer and positive visualization. So whatever one's personal view on that is, I think it's interesting, two things, you know, bad guys do certain things, but then they don't, you know, they want you to do as I say, not as I do, or they don't do certain things, but they want you to do as I say, not as I do. So in this case, if you read a lot of the literature, again, you read folks like Jack Parsons, for example, and you start digging into stuff that comes out of the Theosophical Society and the Lucius Trust, for example, you see that there are folks in positions of prominence, power, authority, influence, who subscribe to these sorts of beliefs, but then they want to prevent others, sort of, you know, create this dismissive mindset while they practice these things in their own lives, which is interesting. And something is clearly happening. You know, I was thinking about the context of this story that I'll get to in a minute. This woman has been on a 3-year road trip documenting acts of kindness. And, you know, you think of, I mean, I quip from time to time that certain things used to just be life, you know, people raising a garden and growing things. And we used to just call that life. You have to make certain things, you have to do certain things. And these days, who knows how to make a thing or grow a thing, or, you know, it all shows up on a truck, so we don't have to worry about that. Well, history tells us that might not be a good idea. You know, as you continue to centralize power, control, authority, you know, again, Lord Acton comes right into front of mind, and power corrupts, and you know, the gradual centralizing of power corrupts absolutely. So maybe that's not a good idea. Anyway, you think of stories like this, and hitchhiking wasn't really a big deal for a long time. Sure, bad things happen from time to time and people take advantage, but that never changes. You can't effectively legislate morality. It doesn't work. In fact, it usually works in the opposite direction. It creates, has a number of bad ripple effects. More laws does not make a more moral, ethical, virtuous, noble, just society. It just doesn't. Never has. So hitchhiking, for better or for worse, used to not be an issue. Now, you know, you see someone on the road, oh my goodness, no, don't stop. There, it has to be a serial killer. Definitely, only serial killers hitchhike now. Used to be the way that people got around. You know, you watch some of the old movie depictions, folks riding on the open cars on a train, for example. You didn't have a ticket. Well, you could ride on the train in I'm trying to think of one of the movies. Night Passage. Jimmy Stewart, Audie Murphy is one of those depictions. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal, and propaganda changed that. Whether it was rooted in truth and fact or not, it changed the perception of folks. Similarly, I would say, I'm reflecting on my own experience, Independence Day used to be fun. We just mark the 243rd anniversary of declaring our independence from what? And, you know, thinking of Lark's words, you know, from what, of what, to what? There are different kinds of freedom, for example. But it used to be an enjoyable thing, and it used to be substantive and meaningful, and now it's just, you know, sure, goofy things happen. I mean, I mentioned John Adams' remarks to Abigail, July 3rd, 1776, last week, leading up to July 4, an Independence Day celebration, and something weird happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Who knows exactly what or why? It just seems weird. Why is an 18-year-old running around amidst 40,000 people reportedly on Independence Point? What do you suppose is going to happen as a result of shots fired? Really? Some 18-year-old kid that, you know, is he a Manchurian candidate? A Manchurian patsy? They shot him 10 times. He's in intensive care. 7 officers shot him 10 times. They're all on paid administrative leave. He fired. Someone was shot in the leg, reportedly, and authorities are asking that person to come forward. No one has checked into a hospital that's been shot in the leg. Then that just sounds odd. There's something very peculiar about the story. Well, there are a number of things peculiar about the story. Anyway, so those kinds of things invariably change perception. The neighboring community of Spokane, Washington, the entire state has already essentially outlawed fireworks. You can't have them. You're not responsible adults. You definitely can't handle fireworks, but you can go watch them, you know. Kind of like you can protest in your little free speech zone. Your little roped-off area across the street in Spokane, for example, when people object to whatever you call it, you know. My mind wants to say Pride Story Hour, but, you know, Drag Queen Story Hour, that's just vulgar and offensive. It's anyway. So it has an effect, and changes perception. You know, the propaganda and the influence creates a different perception over the course of time. I remember back in the 70s, even into the 80s, things were much different. And we used to carry fireworks at school. I mean, I have a ridiculous story. I suppose I'll tell that story, you know, why not? So, you know, we used to, firecrackers weren't a big deal. I remember in high school, my junior year of high school, this is, you know, before I was as wise and intelligent as I am now. I'm joking. Anyway, so, you know, we used to do goofy things in school. Now, someone would call Homeland Security. I was probably a domestic terrorist, but I had some lady fingers, firecrackers, and pulled the fuse out of one of them, had a pocket knife. Again, you know, only a domestic terrorist would carry a pocket knife in school, and was wearing yellow sweats. It was part of school pride week or whatever, and so as part of wearing school colors, I had sweats that had yellow, you know, half of each leg was yellow fabric. So yellow fabric running down the leg. had these firecrackers, and I pulled the fuse out of one, used the pocket knife to just barely work it in the other end because, you know, that way it wouldn't go off, of course. And my locker mate and I had, there were a couple of girls that had a locker next to ours. So I lit the lady finger in the hallway and it was supposed to just burn out as a joke. You know, this would be funny. And lady fingers are not terribly large or powerful. They're small, hence the name. And so the plan was it would just, you know, the fuse would fizzle out, be no big deal. And what ended up happening, actually, is that the firecracker went off in my hand, which is not brilliant. Obviously, the dumb things we do when we're younger, and hopefully we grow out of them, but went off in the middle of the hall, and I had charred remains of firecracker all over yellow sweats. And I turned to my locker mate and said, basically, don't tell anyone it was me. And there was a giant circle. I mean, you can imagine an explosion in a school hallway. Giant circle formed, you know, a ring of people, probably, you know, 30 or 40 feet, you know, maybe like a 10 or 15 foot radius or something like that, maybe 20 feet. And it's just me and my locker mate and me covered with the charred remains of this firecracker that just went off. So those kinds of things. But those were different days. Nothing came of it. It wasn't, you know, it was no, you know, nobody had to call Homeland Security. And it was just kids being dumb. Nobody got hurt, thankfully, not even me. You know, it caused a little bit of swelling, but there was no internal hemorrhaging, and I didn't need to be rushed anywhere for medical attention. My mom used to say that you get no sympathy for self-inflicted wounds, so I didn't really expect any. But, you know, those were different days. And now, one can only imagine. If somebody did something like that today in a school, the school would have to be shut down, the bomb squad would have to be brought in, and then there would have to be some massive overhaul in the regulation. How did this child even get firecrackers, first of all? A child with explosive devices? Oh, that's just criminal. Someone clearly is a deranged psychopath who would let a child have an explosive. So, you know, different days. And we can see the shift in perception to where things are now, and it's crazy. It gets back to this idea of the effect of thought on circumstance, particularly over the course of time, because kids that grow up today have no idea. They have no recollection, which to me, again, reminds me of the Huxley quote, Aldous Huxley, and, you know, things change at glacial speed and people don't notice. Everything seems the same, even though everything is completely different. So, you know, again, I think of the words of looks like Thomas Jefferson, when the subject arises and the idea that attending, you know, the troubles that we encounter, so-called, attending to too great a degree of freedom are much more desirable than the alternative. So, anyway, I want to get back to that story. And it sort of harkens to those bygone days, the bygone era, you know? I mean, imagine someone driving around the country for 3 years now, 3-year road trip, and she returns once in a while to do a little bit of work, to, you know, replenish her road trip fund. She's fortunate enough, it sounds like, to be able to do that as a photographer, predominantly wedding photographer, I believe. But it's an interesting story, and it sounds like she's met some really, she's had some very, she's broadened her horizons quite a bit, I think, which I think we could all use these days. And we used to, man, you used to just be free to kind of explore the world and decide for yourself. I don't think it was that long ago, and more, that's just completely unacceptable. We can't have that, but I think it should be. I think we'd all be better off learning for ourselves, finding out, discovering some things for ourselves, learning some lessons ourselves, instead of having these things foisted upon us more and more. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stick around.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
final segment of the second hour of today's broadcast this Monday, July 8th, 2019. So one of the headlines that I saw was something like Linda Sarsour claims that Jesus was Palestinian. She tweeted, and Twitter erupts. It was something like that. And I'm thinking about these passages, you know, do not repay evil for evil. Romans 12:17, for example, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. This is NASB, a translation I take issue to or with in certain aspects, but is the one that kind of in the spirit of the discussion that Jeff and I were having is the one that appealed most broadly to me. It was the one that I felt urged to gravitate to or whatever, you know, read predominantly. I would say I prefer the King James, but the NASB just reads more easily, and I compare anyway. You know, you think of Romans 12:17 and you know 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," says the Lord. And you think of, you know, when you do that, it's kind of you disrupt the scales of justice, so to speak, and God's timing for things, and you kind of think of Jesus saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward," or you have it. But speaking of Linda Sarsour and just how antagonistic and provocational she is, I'm pretty sure I'm still banned or blocked by her Twitter account. But, you know, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. You know, you think of the Southern ladies. Oh, bless her heart. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And there's more, but, you know, backing up, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Oh, my goodness, that's controversial. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses or you know, religious garb in this case, perhaps. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable quality of gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And imagine that, what that would do. And then again, not repaying evil for evil or insult for insult. That's the conviction that I've had in recent days. Stick around, we'll be back in a moment. Third hour coming up.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.